The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Parashas Toldos. For the last few weeks, we've been speaking about Abraham in these Parashas of Lech Lecho and Vayero, Chayisoro. And this week, let's speak about Yitzchok. Now, Abraham, as we've learned before, was known as the Amul Ahava V'Chesed. He was the pillar of loving kindness. He served HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'Avo. And as we've quoted in the past Shurim, the Rambam brings that in the end of Hilchos Tshuva, that Aveda Me'Avo, to serve Me'Avo, is from the greatest levels. And Abraham had such a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this was his approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Rambam writes, it's like me, someone who would be suffering from Chayles Avas O'Isha, someone who would be lovesick, that he had fallen in love with a woman so deeply that it was to a situation of sickness. And this is the way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'ava, and this is the way Avraham found Hashem. Yitzchok had a different approach. And the Oves each had their own approach. This is why they're called Oves, because they came and they created in the world. They gave forth fruits. And as we mentioned, we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchok, the God of Yaakov, which means that each one had his own approach, and each one created something new. Each one had his own approach, and each one created something new. Yitzchok's approach, the sages tell us, was Yireh. Yireh and Din. That he served HaKadosh Baruch Hu with fear, with responsibility, because of duty, with a great awe. And this we see twice in the Torah, in Parshas Vayetze. It is written, Vayetze Lamed Aleph Mem Beis. When Yaakov was speaking to Laban, it states, Lule Elokei Avi Elokei Avraham Ufachad Yitzchok Koyoli Ki Ato Reikom Shilachtoni. If not for the God of my father, the God of Avraham, and the fear of Yitzchok. He refers to the God of Avraham as Elokei Avraham, but he refers to the God of Yitzchok as Pachad Yitzchok, the fear of Yitzchok Koyoli. This means that Yitzchok saw Hashem as a pachad Yitzchok, as a pachad, as a fear. Again, Yaakov refers to this in Pasuk Nun Gimel. Elokei Avraham velokei Nochor yishpetu veineinu elokei avihem vayishova Yaakov befachad oviv Yitzchok. When Yaakov was taking an oath to Laban, he swore by the pachad oviv Yitzchok, by the fear of his father Yitzchok. This is how he referred to the God of Yitzchok. Now, even though they're a klal, in general, to serve Hashem me'ava with love is much greater than to serve Hashem mi'yira with fear. Ava gives birth to zizus, to enthusiasm, and to all types of expression and great desire to serve Hashem. Well, yira is just the opposite, that when you fear, so many times it causes a person to withdraw The sages tell us that Ava maybe the zrizus that love brings to enthusiasm and zeal. Or you want to go do something. While Yira maybe lideh zehirus, fear brings a person to caution and to withdraw and to be careful, where he disciplines himself. In general, the sages state that to serve from love is greater than to serve from fear. Nevertheless, there are certain aspects that aveda miyira is greater, that to serve from fear is greater. And this we find in a pasuk in Yeshayahu that the Gemara darshins in Masechta Shabbos, Pei Tes Amud Beis. The pasuk is in Yeshayahu Samach Gimel, pasuk Tes Zayin. It states, Ki ato avinu, ki Avraham lo yodonu, vi Yisrael lo yakirenu. Klal Yisrael says, you are our father. Abraham does not know us, and Israel, that refers to Yaakov, he doesn't recognize us. He doesn't remember us. Ato Hashem avinu galenu me'alom shemecho. You, God, are our father that has redeemed us forever, that has always redeemed us. Now, from the posuk, from this, it states that Abraham, there's a time when Abraham will not know us, and there's a time when Yaakov will not recognize us. Yitzchok is not mentioned in the pasuk, so it would seem that ki ato avinu, they are speaking to Yitzchok. Ki ato avinu, Yitzchok, you are our father. Abraham will not know us, and Yisrael, Yaakov, will not recognize us. Then the end of the pasuk speaks to Hashem. Ato Hashem avinu goaleinu me'alom shemecho, that you, the Lord, our father, you are our father. You have always redeemed us. So what does this pasuk mean? Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos Pei Tes Amud Beis Amr b'Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr b'Yenison. L'osid lovei, there'll be a time to come, Yemalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Avraham. Hashem will say to Abraham, Bonecha chotu li, your sons have sinned against me. Amr lefonov ribeinu shel olam. So Abraham will say that if my children have sinned against you and they have forsaken you, Yimocha al kedusha shemecha, then you must destroy them for the sake of the sanctity of your name. In other words, Abraham will say, it's a great tragedy. If Klal Yisrael has left you, what can I do for them? If they have forsaken Torah and mitzvahs, there's nothing I can do for them. And then Yimochu, they must be destroyed for the sanctification of your name. Omar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not getting anything from Abraham. Emalei LeYaakov, let me go to Yaakov. Dehav LeTzar Gidl Bonim. Yaakov had a great deal of sufferings when it came to bringing up his children. He had sorrows with Yosef, and he had sorrows with Dinah, and he had sorrows with Binyamin, and so forth. So Hashem said, let me go to Yaakov. Maybe Yaakov will be more understanding, since he had so much sar gidl bonim. Efshed the boy rachmi alayo, and maybe he will ask for mercy upon them. O melecho banecho chotu. So Hashem comes to Yaakov and he says, your sons have sinned against me. O melefanav ribeni shaleilam, yimochu al kedusha shemecha. And Yaakov gives the same answer. If your sons have forsaken you, then there's nothing that can be done, and let them be eliminated for the sanctification of your name. Omar Shah, so Hashem says, Leibus Habitaim of Leibadarki Eitzro. I'm not getting any good answers from the old one, that's Abraham, nor from the young one, That's Yaakov. Omale le Yitzchok. I'll go to Yitzchok. Bonecho chotuli. Your sons have left me. Omer lefanov. Yitzchok answers, Ribbeinu shel Olam, bonai velei bonecho. What do you mean your sons have left you? You refer to them as my sons, Yitzchok said. They are my sons and not your sons. Shoshek dimo lefanecho nasel nishmo. When they received the Torah on Har Sinai, and they said, we will accept, even before we knew what was written in it. Karos lehem bini becheri. You call them my children, my firstborn. Achshav bonai velei bonecho. And now you refer to them as Yitzchok's children, and not your children. Be old, and also kama chotu. He says, how much could they have sinned? Kamish neisiv shalodim. How much does a person live? Shivim shona, 70 years. Dal esrin delei nashta alayhu. For 20 years you cannot punish them. It states that einish bidei shomayim, heavenly punishment, only comes upon a person after he's 20 years old. So for 20 years you cannot punish them. Pashul chamishim, this leaves 50 years. Dal chofei delei lusay. Now if we divide the day from the night, and most of the time at night they're sleeping, so that leaves 25 years. Pashu uluchofe. Dal tati sora. So that leaves 12. Dal chofe. There's 50. Dal chofe de leilusa. Take off half of that time for nights, and that leaves 25. Dal tati sora opalgo de sluyo mechel besakise. Take off 12 and a half of that, divide it again in a half, because during that time they're busy davening, or they're busy eating, or taking care of other necessary needs. Pashlu tati sorio palgo. So there's only 12 and a half years in a person's life. Yitzchok makes a cheshbon, a calculation, that they could sin anyhow. So he said, what's 12 and a half years? Imata sevel eskula mutav. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly can carry 12 and a half years. I'm not talking about 70 years. Of each person, 12 and a half years. If you will carry it, good. Bim lav. And if not, then we'll carry it together. Pal golayo, pal golech. I'll carry half and you carry half. Vim tim tzolaymar. And if you also don't want to do that, kulam alai. If you want me to carry it all, I'll carry it all. Because akrivas nafshecha kamoi. Because I sacrificed myself to you. Poschu v'yomru, so Klal Yisrael said, Ato Avinu. This is what the Pasuk means. Ki Ato Avinu. You are our father. Ki Avraham lo yadanu. There was a time when Avraham did not know us. When Hashem said that your children have gone away from me, he said, there's nothing I can do. Bi Yitzchok lo yakirenu. And there's a time when when Yaakov lo yakirenu, Yaakov also will not remember us. When Hashem said that your children have gone away, he says, there's nothing I can do. So you are our father. Omer ham Yitzchok. Yitzchok said, Ache atem mekalsin li kosele HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why come and praise me? Praise Hashem. Umochel Yitzchok HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'anayu. And he pointed to Hashem. Miyad nosa einayim lamorim ve'imrim. Immediately, Klal Yisrael lifted up their eyes and they said, Ato Hashem avinu goaleinu me'alom shemecho. You, Hashem, are our father. You have redeemed us all of the time. So that's what the pasuk means. That, ki ato avinu, first they said, Yitzchok, you are our father. Because Avraham le'yadanu v'Yisrael lo'yakirenu. Avraham doesn't know us and Yisrael didn't recognize us. And then they said, Ato Hashem avinu goaleinu me'alom shemecho. They said to Hashem, you're our father. Because Yitzchok said, rather than praise me, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do we see from this Gemara? We see that Leib Sabe Taimo, the Leib Dadaki Eitzo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't find good words by the old one, and he couldn't find good counsel by the young one, and he had to go to Yitzchok. We see that Yitzchok had attained a level that the others did not. What is the explanation of this? The Maral explains this in Sefer Netzach Yisrael, Perek Yud Gimel. He explains as follows. When Hashem said, Bonecha Chotuli, that your children have sinned against me, this means that they have severed the bond that they had between themselves and Hashem. They have forsaken Hashem. They have gone away. Abraham couldn't do anything about that. He said, if they've gone away, what am I able to do? And the same thing by Yaakov. What am I able to do? Yitzchok said, no. He said, this is impossible. It's impossible that Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, should be able to totally sever the bond that they have between you, between themselves and you. It's impossible for them to forsake you. Why? Because Yitzchok said, what did I do for the world? What did I create? What did I bequeath to my children? I created the Amud of Yira, the pillar of fear in Hashem, to the point where I gave not only all of my energies to Hashem and not all of my possessions to Hashem, but to the point where I gave myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kirafto nafshoi. I sacrificed myself to Hashem. And Yitzchok was the only one who did that. Avraham was willing to sacrifice his son. But we don't find where Avraham actually sacrificed himself. Yitzchok actually offered himself to Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers this not only as an offer, but as he actually sacrificed himself. Why? Because he did it, except Hashem came and stopped it. See, Hashem sent down a malach, an angel, and he said, don't do anything to the lad. Leave him alone. So this, the fact that there was a withdrawal from the sacrifice, this was not on Yitzchok's part, this was on Hashem's part. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers not that Yitzchok offered to sacrifice himself, that he sacrificed himself to Hashem. And that's what it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Metzarif Machshava L'Maisa. That, all of that emotional and mental powers that was in Hashem's eyes a sacrifice. Chazal say that we find when the word Zechira is mentioned, that Hashem remembers the Ovish, it says he will remember Abraham and he will remember Yaakov. But by Yitzchok it doesn't mention that he will remember Yitzchok. And the Chazal say because you only have to remember something which you do not see. What do you have to call upon your memory for? For something that you don't see. Something that you see you don't have to remember. Avraham HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to remember what Avraham did. Yaakov, Hashem has to remember what Yaakov did. It says that he will remember as Avraham, as Yaakov Eskor, he will remember Yaakov. But Yitzchok, he doesn't have to remember what he did. Because Aforei Munach Bifonai. Because the ashes of Yitzchok lay before the Kisei HaKovod, before his throne. It's constantly before Hashem's eyes. I, but Yitzchok never sacrificed himself. He did. He did everything in his power to sacrifice himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped it. And Yitzchok was the only one that did this. And if we find that in later generations, Jews gave their life for Hashem, that they learned from Yitzchok. That came from the pillar of Yitzchok. It did not come from the pillar of Abraham and did not come from the pillar of Yaakov. That keach, that power, that's Yitzchok's power. This is what he contributed. And only he, no one else. And if Yaakov himself had such a power, that was because he inherited from his father. See, Yaakov had powers that he inherited from Avraham and he inherited from Yitzchok. But that was not Yaakov's chidush. That's not what Yaakov created. What Yaakov created was not that force. That came from Yitzchok. And this is the closest possible that a person can become to Hashem. What more can a person do? A person can work for Hashem. He can do mitzvahs for Hashem. He can give energies to Hashem. He can give speech to Hashem, thoughts to Hashem, his possessions to Hashem. But nobody can do more than giving himself to Hashem, totally. And this is what Yitzchok did. And through this he came closer to Hashem than any of the other Ovish, unless they used that power that they inherited from him. This is the power of Yireh. Now, what is the difference between love and fear, Ava v'Yira? Ava, love, is a force which unites two people and makes one out of them. But even though it makes one out of them, there's two. Neither entity becomes insignificant to the other. Takes two entities, and there's a force of love between them, and it unites them. But one entity doesn't disappear in the other. So if a person serves Hashem, a Avo, it unites him with Hashem. But he's still his own entity. What is Yireh? Yireh is where two become one because one becomes bottle. One becomes insignificant in reference to the second one. We'll explain this. For example, if you have someone who's a giant, and next to him you have someone like an ant, the ant is as if it doesn't exist. It's not here. Or for example, if you have a little fire, a little candle, and it's burning next to a raging forest fire, the little candle, the little fire, is not considered an entity anymore. The only entity is the raging forest fire. The little candle is eliminated. It is so insignificant when it comes to the greater power that it's as if it becomes part of the power. We have a cloud, we have a principle like this in Halacha, which is called Tofel v'Ikar. When you have an ikar and when you have a tofel, so the tofel's bottle to the ikar. That if you have something which is a great overpowering force, and you have something which is a small insignificant force, So it's as if the insignificant force is not there anymore. Kimisha Einai. But it becomes part of the overpowering force. Another example, if you would have a little fire next to the sun, a little fire would give forth its light, and the sun would give forth its light. So it's not that the sun is giving light and the fire is giving light. The light of the sun is so intense and so great that it swallows up the light of the fire. The light of the fire is as if it's not, if it doesn't exist. The same thing if you have, for example, if you have a hill, a little mountain, a hill. If it's alone, it's an entity. Put it next to a great mountain, put it next to Mount Everest, it becomes part of Mount Everest. Foothills around Mount Everest become part of the mountain. They lose their identity totally. They are no longer an entity by themselves. This is the power of Yira. When something is so great and so immense, everything around it is swallowed up in it. Therefore, when it comes to the power of Ava, of love, which unites two people, but the two people, one does not become insignificant to the other. One does not become swallowed up to the other. They're united. They're one. But each one of them equally make up that entity. Not that one has disappeared in the other. But when it comes to Yira, then the cotton is bottle etzla godl. The small force becomes insignificant to the greater force and swallowed up in it. And this is all in accordance to the ratio of the forces, how much greater one is over the other. According to this, the main place for fear in the world would be to fear Hashem, because He's the greatest force. This means that by Hashem, everything as if is non-existent. Everything is as if it becomes an insignificant part of Him, a toffle to Him, because He is so overpowering and so great. And this is how Yitzchok saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a great force which completely dwarfs everything else in the world. All people and all powers. For example, like the ocean would dwarf some water that you would put into the ocean. This is how he saw Hashem. And his vision of Hashem was so clear in this that he saw himself as not as an entity in its own right, but rather becoming a part of Hashem, encompassed and dwarfed and overpowered by the entity of Hashem. And this Avram did see. Avram had a different approach. Avram saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw His wonderful powers. He saw His wonderful kindness, His wonderful love. And this brought Avram to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with love. And it united Avraham with Hashem. But not that he became as if he was non-existent. Yitzchok saw Hashem as the mighty force which was so much greater than the world in comparison to an ocean over a glass of water. That the world was merely a toffle. The world was merely something totally insignificant to Hashem. where it becomes part of Hashem, it's no longer an entity. And this is what was known as Batlus al Hashedush, where he became totally insignificant to the source. It was in this chaos, this power, that Yitzchok was able to give his life to Hashem. Because he didn't look at himself as a different life, as a different entity, but rather just as a part of Hashem. And through this, he attained a dveikus, a bond with Hashem that no one else attained. And this bond was inseparable. Now, even though perhaps later Yaakov attained that bond or even a greater bond, but that was not from Yaakov. That was what he inherited from Yitzchok. Okay? But what Yaakov gave was not as great as this. This was Yitzchok's. Therefore, when Hashem came and he told Abraham, he said, your sons have left me. So Abraham was devastated over this. And he says, if my sons have left me, what can I do? You'll have to do away with them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that answer. So he went to Yaakov. And he said, your sons have left me. And Yaakov said, if your sons have left you, what can I do? So he says, Lebe sabe taima, velebe dariki yetzo. I'm not getting anywhere with the old one or with the young one. He says, I'll go to Yitzchok. So Yitzchok answered. He says, first of all, Yitzchok said, your son, how's it possible my son should leave you? First he said, your sons, my sons you called them. They're your sons. To Yitzchok, there were no two entities. I came so close to you, where I totally was mavatl, I totally destroyed my own entity for you. And he did this literally. Because he was ready to put himself in the fire for Hashem. So what does it mean, you call them my sons and not your sons? This is one entity. They're as much your sons as my sons. And if you cannot carry their avedas, then my shu certainly can. Because I'm part of you. Kraftias nafshoi. I gave my whole life to you. My life is not a life. It's only a part of you. I gave everything to you, so I'm only a part of you. When they heard that, so they came and they told Yitzchok, you're our father. In other words, Yaakov perhaps would have been capable of doing this also, but only with the schus of Yitzchok. So this is what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he went first to the schus of Abraham and then to the schus of Yaakov. Then he had to come back to the schus of Yitzchok, to the pillar of Yitzchok. So they said to Yitzchok, you are our father. You are, it is your power that has saved us, not the power of Abraham and not the power of Yaakov. So on that Yitzchok answered, don't call me, don't praise me, praise Hashem. He came back to the same principle. Because we are inseparable, we are one. This force of Yira has made from two one, where the smaller force simply disappears into the greater force, returns totally to its source. From here we can go on to explain many other things which will help us understand what does it mean, this pillar of Yitzchok and this Avedim Me'avo, to serve Me'ira, to serve Hashem from fear. It states that Yitzchok was the source of the Avedis HaKorbonis, the sacrifices, and the Beis HaMikdash, it all comes from Yitzchok. The Medrash tells us that at the time when Yitzchok offered his life to Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu enacted the law, Keves Echad Babeke VeKeves Echad Ben Aboyim, that the sacrifices, one sheep in the morning and one sheep in the afternoon, should be brought. Now the sacrifices, they're called korban, and korban means to bring, be brought close. What was its purpose? Its purpose was is that a Jew would come and he would buy an animal with his money, had to be with his money, and then this animal would be offered to Hashem, and it would be Eile v'reach nicheach l'Hashem, and he would go up to Hashem. Now this again was the same principle, where something would become bottle, something would totally be disintegrated to where it would join its source, it would return to its source and would become one. And this represented the fact that the person brought it with his own money, so he was giving a part of himself, which is his possessions, back to Hashem. They're not that he had possessions. There were two entities, Hashem and himself, but he was giving his possessions back to Hashem. This was the, and through this, he was also elevated. This was the Avedis HaKorbonis, which means to bring close. And this is the principle of Yitzchok. Now the Korbonis are always referred to, the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, as Avoda. That's how it's always referred to, Avoda. Avoda comes from the word Eved. Eved means a servant, a slave, a servant. Why does a servant serve his master? He serves his master not because of love, even though he could serve because of love, but that's not what makes him into a servant. What makes him into a servant is yiras ha'odon olav, because of the fear of the master is over him. He's, what makes him into a servant is the fear. Now an Eved really doesn't have his own entity, but rather he becomes part of the master. Rashi brings that an Eved to a king is called a king. A servant to a king is treated royally just like the king. We have our halacha, there's a law, Eved Kain Echel Betruma, that the servant of a Kohen eats Truma just like a Kohen. Only a Kohen can eat Truma. That's the certain grains which were set aside for the Kohanim. But an Eved also does. Why? Because he's Naset Tofelo. Because he becomes part of his master. Or we have Mashi Kon Eved Kon Rabbi, that all of the possessions that the Eved owns, the rabbi owns. So this principle is that if a person serves Hashem with love, he's still an entity. If a person serves Hashem with fear, he becomes an Eved to Hashem. An Eved to Hashem is someone that doesn't have his own entity, but rather becomes attached to the master, just like a servant. A servant takes on the, this one we say he doesn't have his own entity, doesn't mean he has no entity, but rather he takes on the entity of the master. A servant does not have his own entity, but he takes on whatever entity the master has, whatever identification the master has. This we find in Halacha. And this is why Korbonos are always referred to as Avoda. Because the whole understanding of bringing Korbonos is like an Eved L'Rabbi, like a servant to a master, where everything loses its own identity and becomes attached to the identity of the master. The animal no longer is its own identity, but goes up to its source. The person who bought it, his possessions are not an entity by themselves, but he offers this entity to its source, to Hashem. And this, in turn, is an uplifting to him. And this is why we find that whenever it came to the Beis HaMikdosh, there was an Aved Meir. For example, it states as Migdoshai Tiro'u, you shall fear my Beis HaMikdosh, you shall fear my place. And from there we learn Yira Yitzera Nitztavu Al HaMikdosh, the Gemara says, that we were commanded with the Beis HaMikdosh extra dimensions of fear that we were not commanded other places. For example, when you come to a Beis HaMikdosh, it states you can't go in there with the shoes, the dust on your feet, not allowed to carry in your money belt, not allowed to take a shortcut through there, and so forth and so on. This we only find by the Beis HaMikdosh, not by other places, because that was the Mokum HaYira. That was the place to come and serve Hashem as an Eved L'Rabbi, as a servant to his master. And therefore, Yira Yisera Nitztavu Al HaMikdosh, we were commanded on the Beis HaMikdosh with additional dimensions of fear. It states, for example, the Gemara brings that when the Kahanim were involved in the Korbonis, it states, how should they do it? Sitting or standing? So the Gemara says, Ba'amida, they must stand. Why? Because it states, V'sheiris, Derech Shevus, that they must serve. How does a servant serve his master? He serves by standing, not by sitting, and so forth. Actually, that is why when a person comes into a Beis HaKnesses, into a shul, he must also walk into a shul with an extra dimension of yira. We find people that go into a shul with a kalas reish, with a lightheadedness, do not understand what a shul is. The Gemara brings many of the halachos that apply to a Beis HaMikdosh applies to a Beis HaKnesses, to a shul. Because a Beis HaKnesses has a din of a Mikdosh Mi'at, has a halacha of a minor Beis HaMikdosh. It's also the Mokam HaYira, the place to fear Hashem. There are places to serve Hashem with love, and there are places to serve Hashem with fear. That's why it's brought when a person comes into a shul, he's supposed to be dressed properly. He's not supposed to shout in a shul. He's not supposed to take a shortcut through the shul. If you come into a shul, you're not supposed to go in there unless you're coming in there for some purpose. This is also why it's brought the great aveira of people talking in a shul. That even shalei b'shasa tefillah, even not during the tefillah for sure, but even not during the tefillah, it's not a place for conversation, because meira hashchino. Why is the Beis HaMikdosh the place to serve with yira? Because the Beis HaMikdosh was the Mishkan, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells there, so that means that the Eved, the servant, is in the presence of the Master. How does a servant act in the presence of the Master? He acts with awe. He acts with great responsibility. So is it in the Beis HaMikdosh, and so is it in a Beis HaKnesses. And this is why Yitzchok is the forerunner of this approach, is the Sheirish, the source of the Korbonis in the Beis HaMikdosh. Now we'll go another step. Tefillah. The Gemara tells us where we learn Tefillah from. The Gemara says we learn Tefillah from the Avedis HaKorbonis. Why? Because it states, Vavaretem b'chol avadchem, that you shall avoda, again, serve, that word serve is the serving of a servant. You shall serve Hashem like a servant with your heart, with all of your heart. So the Gemara asks, how can a servant serve with his heart? A servant serves his master physically. How does a servant serve with his heart? So the Gemara says, Heviyem izu tefillah. This is tefillah. That when you mispalel, when you pray, when you daven, it must be the serving of the heart. What do we learn from here? That the same way a servant, the same way and in the same structure that a servant serves his master physically, This is how one is supposed to serve his master with his heart to daven. In that same manner, that same structure. Therefore, we have many halachos that pertain to tefillah, only to tefillah, ke'evader l'melech, like a servant to a king, for example. It states that when a person davens, the main tefillah is the Shemayin Esrei. When a person davens, he has to realize he's aimed b'fnei ha-melech, that he's a subject standing before a king. He's a servant standing before a king. The fact is, the halacha is, if he doesn't realize that, he's not yotza. He has not fulfilled. He's not fulfilled his obligation of tefillah. If a person davens and he doesn't realize that he's standing before his king, then it's ein zu tefillah. This is not a tefillah. This is the halacha. It has to be aimed b'fnei tefillah. How should he dress? It's brought, he must dress properly when he davens. Why? Because how does a servant come to speak to his master? He must dress like he's aimed b'fnei tefillah. Now these are halachas only in tefillah. For example, if a person learns Torah, there's no halacha when he learns Torah, when he studies Torah, that he has to sit there like he's standing, or stand there before the king. This is why we daven Shemayin Esrei standing up. There's no halacha when you study Torah, you have to study Torah standing up. Or you have to be dressed when you study Torah, dressed like a servant before the king. Or he has to know he's standing before the king. These are halachas, misuyemes, these are halachas which are individually pertain to tefillah. Because by tefillah, by davening, by prayer, there it states, ba'avadato, that you shall serve like a servant. So this means that when you mispalo to Hashem, it must be like a servant to a king. And there are many such halachos because of this. Another such halacha is what we learn in Masechta Oves. In Masechta Oves, at the end, near the end of Perek Beis, it states, Reb Shimon Eimer, Kshatom Yispalel, that when you daven to Hashem, Al Tas Tfilos Chekva, you should not daven like something you do day after day after day as a matter of ordinary routine. It should not be done, you're not supposed to daven in a routine manner. Many times Kva is good. Many times routine is good. We find that. It says that you should be keveya itim l'teira. You should set aside a strong routine for study Torah. If you don't set aside a strong schedule and routine for the study of Torah, then every day you'll be busy with something else, and your days will go by, and you won't learn Torah. See, for many, many things, a keva, a strong schedule, a structure, and routine is the best thing. But when it comes to davening, it's not. When you come to daven, al task tfilos chikiva. You should not daven as a matter of schedule and as a matter of routine. Now's the time to daven, so I daven, like I do every day. El rachamim v'sachnunim lifnei amokam. But it should be rachamim v'sachnunim. You must daven like a servant that's coming to pour out his heart before his master with an appeal, where he is appealing to Hashem. He is appealing to his master for compassion. He's beseeching his master. Now, if you have a servant that comes to beseech his master and to appeal for his very life or for that what his life is dependent on, a servant doesn't do this as a matter of a scheduled routine, that now's the time he must go to his master, and this is what he says every day. So he says it over and finished. Okay. Now, how does he come? First of all, it's full of emotion. It's spontaneous. When he comes to his master, he puts his whole heart in it. He might cry. One day is different than the other. Can't be that every day is the same. This is what Reb Shimon tells us. Now this Mishnah is a halacha. This Mishnah is a halacha, and this is brought in the Mishnah Masechta Brachos, and in the Gemara and Chof Ches Amud Beis and Chof Tes Amud Beis, and it's brought from the Tnoim of Tefillah. These are from the conditions of Tefillah. That Tefillah must be ketachnunim, like a servant who's pouring out his heart to the Almighty, to his master, and it must not be kekeva. Kekeva. The fact is, the Maral writes that he says, really, a person should not be mispala mitecha sidr. He says, he shouldn't daven from a sidr. He says, in reality, a person shouldn't daven from a sidr. Why? He says, did you ever see a servant coming to pour out his heart to his master, his king, and he's reading from, he wrote it all up and he's reading it? He says, "Ein lecha keva gdeil mizu." There's not such a great, there's not more of a routine, mechanical prayer than that. So he says, really you shouldn't. You should daven bal peh. You should daven without a siddur. There's a man, the Omer, that holds in the Gemara that in every tefillah, every prayer, you should be mechadish something. You must say something in every Shemein Esra that you didn't say the day before. Otherwise it's keva. See, it's routine. And the Gemara says, one man Yomer, the Gemara says, I would do that, he said. That every Shemein Esra, I would say something that I didn't say the day before. But I'm afraid that I would become confused and mixed up. So the Maral says similarly. He says, but since we don't have that much kavona, we don't have that much emotion and intent and meaning in our prayers anyhow, so it's better we should daven from a siddur. Because if we'll daven without a siddur, we'll daven even worse. See? So that's because of our shortcomings. But from here we get the picture. See? Theoretically, a person shouldn't even use a siddur for davening. Because you don't come with to beseech a mighty king and you're reading from a book to him. But because of our shortcomings, we would do worse without a siddur, see? So then we might as well use a siddur and do a little better. But this is what it means. This is what tefillah has to be. And the Maral explains why. Why must tefillah be this? He says, because what? The whole essence of tefillah. Why is it that we come to ask Hashem? We come to ask Him for wisdom. We come to ask Him for refuah, for health. We come to ask Him for brocha, for panosa, for livelihood. And we come to ask Him for good counsel, and we come to ask Him for justice, everything, and for tshuva, repentance, everything we come to ask Him for. Why? Why must we come and ask? The whole purpose why we must come and ask is in order that we should be mevatel es atzmeinu, that we should make ourselves completely insignificant as a unity, as a unit by itself, as an entity by itself, where we become part of Hashem, like an eved to a rabbi. Why does an eved, why does a servant come to throw himself upon the master? Because his life is dependent on the master. Why does a servant come and everything he beseeches his master for? Because he's dependent for everything on his master. Someone who's independent doesn't have to come and beseech other people. If we don't come to ask, then this means we're independent. We don't need Hashem for brocha, we don't need Hashem for health, and we don't need Him for panosa. We make our own limits. We're independent. If we're independent, we're very far from Hashem. We're an entity by ourselves. And this is not the reality. In reality, we are totally dependent on Hashem. And we're totally attached to Him. The manifestation and the expression and the declaration of this is tefillah. That by tefillah is a declaration where we are not an independent entity, but totally dependent on Hashem for everything. So how does one declare that? What is the manifestation of that? That's tachnunim, where he comes to beseech Hashem for compassion, with emotion, that everything that he needs, he must ask Hashem for, and Hashem will give him. Actually, tachnunim, the word tachnunim, the Maral says, comes from the word chanun. Chanun means chanino. He must ask for a matnas chinon. That not kechayv, you can't come and demand, but Hashem should give him because Hashem is good. Not that he's obligated. Now, if you notice that the main part, the tefillah that we're speaking about, the ikat tefillah, the tefillah of the whole davening is basically the Shemayin Esra. That's the main part of the tefillah. Krishma is a different mitzvah. But the mitzvah tefillah is the Shemayin Esra. The Shemayin Esra, basically, the whole middle is tachnunim, where you appeal to Hashem. Except in the beginning, is what is known as gvures, we praise the greatness of Hashem. And the end is what is known as heidor, where we thank Hashem. That's because when a servant comes to a great king to ask, first he praises him. See? First he comes and he praises the greatness of the king. Then he gets down to business and he asks what he wants. And then he thanks the king. So the main part of the tefillah is the asking from Hashem. Except that's not derech eretz, it's just to come and ask. So first you come and you bow and you praise and you say praises to the king. See? Then you ask and then you thank Hashem. Now the tefillah, therefore, is also the same pillar of yireh, where a person totally makes himself insignificant so he becomes part of the source of Hashem, attaches himself to Hashem, dependent on Hashem. And this came from Yitzchok. This came from Yitzchok, who did the same to Hashem, who did the same when he offered himself to Hashem. It's interesting to note that it states that all of the Oveis enacted one of the tefillahs. Avraham Shachris, Yaakov Marev, and Yitzchok was Mincha. How do we know that? We know that because in last week's Parshas Chayisora, near the end of Chayisora, it states in Samach Gimel, Posuk Chof Daled Samach Gimel, Vayetze Yitzchok Lasuch Basode Lifnais Orav, that when Eliezer was returning with Rivka, he went to find a wife for Yitzchok, so he was successful and he brought back Rivka. He was returning to Abraham's place and he came to the field, and there Yitzchok was going to the field. Lasuach, Lasuach means to speak. Le'es erev, lifnais orev, as the sun was setting. So the sages learned from here, he was going to daven as the sun was setting, tfilas mincha. The sode, the field, refers to Har HaMoriah, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So from here we learn that Yitzchok enacted mincha. It's interesting to note that this was the first, at that time when he was going to daven mincha, that was the first attachment that Rivka had to Yitzchok and Yitzchok had to Rivka. It states here, Vayisa Einov, Yitzchok lifted his eyes, Vayar, and he saw B'nei Gmalim Boim, and he saw the camels coming, and he saw Rivka. And Vatisa Rivka Einov, Havateres Yitzchok. And Rivka lifted her eyes, and she saw Yitzchok. So this was right at the time of when he was enacting Mincha. Now, it's not by mere coincidence that the tefillah of Mincha belongs to Yitzchok. We went once into a shir. We once went into this in a shir. What is the explanation? Because why do we daven Shachris? We daven Shachris because then the sun rises. It states that the main mitzvah of Shachris, the best time to daven Shachris, is Yirauchi Mashemesh, just as the sun rises. What happens when the sun rises? This is a renewal to the world. The world renews itself. The sun is not merely a visitor to the world. The sun is a major portion of the physical world. The fact is, the sages say, it's the dominating physical force of the physical world. When Hashem returns the sun to the world, he's basically renewing the world. Sun brings with it all types of new life, okay, with its heat and its energy and its warmth and its growing processes. So by giving the sun back to the world, he renews the world. So on this we praise him. So Abraham praised Hashem with the new life that came into the world. But this means that there's a new entity. There's an entity of the world, a new world, but its source is in Hashem. What happens at Mincha time? Mincha time, the sun starts to return to Hashem. Starts to return. So why do we daven? Why should we praise Hashem? We praise Hashem because there, even this great force of the sun and the world that he renewed, it all returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sun returns and disappears to Hashem. The world returns to Hashem. Because once the sun sets, the world is diminished to low gear. At night, the world operates at a very low gear compared to what it operates during the day. Just like a person, when he's awake or when he's sleeping. At nighttime to the world is a dimension of sleep. So what is happening? The world returns to Hashem. What does it mean, it returns to Hashem? Becomes bottled. It becomes totally insignificant as an entity of itself and attaches itself to Hashem. This is a greater praise to Hashem. So therefore we praise Hashem at the time of Mincha. And this is Yitzchok. This was Yitzchok's Avodah. This is why Yitzchok enacted Mincha. And it comes out that there's a greater bond from Mincha than from Shachris. Because Shachris represents Hashem sends forth a power to create an entity. The source is in Hashem, but it's an entity by itself. It's another entity. But Mincha is that it all returns to Hashem. And it loses its own identity. This is a greater bond. And there are many places where the sages mention that the tefillas Mincha, to Mincha, a person can do more with his tefillas Mincha than with his tefillas Shachris. And this is one of the reasons for it, because there's this greater bond. Incidentally, and we see this in reality, because the Gemara says that in the morning the sun rises. What does rising represent? A new life, a new entity comes into the world. But what happens in the afternoon? In the afternoon the sun sets. It says, what does it mean the sun sets? Ki abde kamimara. Like, just like a servant bows before his master, so does the sun set before its master, to the point where he takes his own identity and he lowers it before the identity of his master. One final point. That is, we've mentioned this in the past, that we find that Yitzchok was given a name, Al Shem Hashchek, because of laughter. When Hashem came to Abraham at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, and Bereishis Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, that Hashem said that I'm going to give you your own son, and from here will come out all of the brachas. And he will be a person with nations will come from him, and so forth. And Abraham bowed down and he laughed. And he said, Beliba, and he said to himself, he is 100 years old and he will give birth, and Sarah is 90 years old and she will give birth. Now the Targum there says V'chadi. This laughter was not, he wasn't laughing because he didn't believe, he was laughing because he did believe. Sora later, when she heard about it, she laughed because she didn't believe. She laughed at it. And that's why she was rebuked. But Avraham laughed because he believed. Chadi means simcha. What was the simcha? The simcha was that someone who's 100 years old should give birth and a woman who's 90 years old should give birth. Now why is that a simcha? Because he saw the Gvuras Hashem. He saw the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By nature, it's as impossible to give birth at 100 years old or 90 years old. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there will be a birth. He believed it. So he laughed. He was filled with joy at the Gvuras Hashem, at the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu can rise above the nature. And this was the same thing that Hashem told Sora. When Sora laughed because she didn't believe, so Hashem said, this was in the next parasha, Vayera Yudches Posig Yud Dalel, Ayipolei Me Hashem Devor. He said, Ayipolei Me Hashem Devor. Yipolei, Pela means wonder. Is there a wonder which is beyond me? Why are you laughing? Of course it's a wonder, but is there a wonder which is beyond me? And Hashem commanded Avraham that he should name this child Yitzchok because of the laughter of Avraham. Now why? We always have a principle, Hashem Meira al Ha'etzim, that the name is significant of what the person is in essence. This chayk that Avraham had was a vision of how the greatness and the gevurah, the strength of Hashem, totally dissipates the forces of the world, physical forces of the world. If somebody else would have said, told Avraham, you'll have a son at 100 years old, he would have said no, because the forces of the world deny this. The forces of the world state that no one can have a son at 100 years old. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you will have a son at 100 years old, he was full of joy at the Gvuras Hashem, at the strength of Hashem, how the strength of Hashem totally overcomes, overshadows all other forces in the world. And therefore he was full of joy, and Hashem said, that is the essence of Yitzchok. Yitzchok will see me with such clarity and with such closeness that he will always be in the state of joy, because there will be no other force in the world existing in the eyes of Yitzchok. Ein ol milvadoi means that the way Yitzchok will see Hashem, everything else in the world will be totally insignificant, will not have an independent identity, but will be totally dependent on Hashem. This is how Yitzchok will see me, and therefore you shall name him Yitzchok. And therefore Yitzchok grew to be the Baal Yireh, where when he saw Hashem, to him it was Pachad Yitzchok. It was such an awesome gevura, strength, that every other force in the world disappeared, became merely dependent on it. To fear Hashem, the Maral says, to fear Hashem means that a person has no fear for man. Now, this is something very important. True fear of Hashem means that a person has no fear of man. A lot of times you have a lot of people that do all kinds of things. And if you ask them why they're doing it, they'll tell you because it's Yirah Shamayim. They're fearing Hashem. But meanwhile, they're doing all of these things because of 100 different other pressures that they have from people that live around them. That's not fear of Hashem. The Maral says that's fear of man. Yiras Hashem means you fear Hashem, and everything else blends into insignificance. Yiras Hashem velo yiras od. That's why Yitzchok was able to give his life. If someone is threatening your life, so you're afraid of him. If you're afraid of him, so you won't allow him to shoot you. But Yitzchok saw the gvura, the strength of Hashem, so greatly and so clearly that these other forces were not there. And therefore he was able to serve Hashem under all conditions, even if it meant to give his life. The power that Yaakov and Klal Yisrael used later to be able to give their lives, that was the power that was inherited from Yitzchok. And this is why he was called Yitzchok. And this is why the Chazal refer to the Amu, the pillar of Yireh, they refer to in many places as Gvura. Why is it Gvura? Firstly, it's Gvura because Yireh demands discipline. But there's another reason why it's Gvura. The Mishnah Novice tells us at the beginning of the fourth Perek, it states, Ben Zema Emer, Ezehu Gibor. Who is a Gibor? Hakevish es Yitzroi. He who conquers himself, Shnematev Erech Apayim Mi Gibor, Emeshel Beruch Emelech Edir. The one who's patient is stronger than the one who's physically strong, and the one who rules over his own spirit is stronger than the one who captures a city. So what does it mean, who is the Gibor? The Gibor is the one who rules over nature. Every man has a physical nature. He has a nature he was born with. The one who rules over that nature, that's the Gibor. The Baal Yireh, the one who fears Hashem, rules over nature. He has no fear. He has no fear, and he has no intimidation from nature, because he sees Hashem just like a person would be in, would see the forces of the ocean. He wouldn't have a fear from a glass of water. He'd only have a fear from the ocean. So is it when one can see Hashem, so becomes faded out all other forces. So therefore he's elevated above nature, above the forces of nature. This is the Gibor. And this is why it's referred to Gvura. So this was the pillar of Yitzchok, of which he was Mechadish. This pillar went to Yaakov and it went to Klal Yisrael. But it came only from Yitzchok. And that's what we mean when we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok. That Avraham created the approach to Hashem with a great fervor of love. And Yitzchok created the approach to Hashem with this great gevura, this great strength, this great yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. We should be zeche to become yirei shamayim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.